If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Hello there and welcome to the Eurogamer newscast. We're talking about Summer Game Fest's opening ceremony, which was last night as we're recording this. Today, joining me as ever, Eurogamer's news team, we've got Ed Nightingale.
Hello.
Victoria Kennedy.
Hello.
And I'm Tom Phillips. And we're all a bit bleary-eyed this morning, but it was a good show last night, especially, I think, a lot of caffeine going around. A lot of caffeine last night as well. I moved from regular coffee, to coffee liqueur on ice, which saw me through the wee hours. There was Summer Game Fest. And there was some cool indie bits and pieces we can talk about as well. But maybe let's just go around first of all and say what we were most excited to see last night. Ed, let's start with you. It was all Ed last night. There was so much for you.
I mean, yeah, he's clearly going to say Honkai Star Rail.
Of course. I enjoyed in the work chat. It was, Ed, this is your moment. I was like, yeah. I mean, we can talk about our feelings overall at the end, but I was happy in the sense of it ticked off both Sonic and Final Fantasy, which I was very happy with. Final Fantasy especially. We got to see the mobile game, which looks a bit iffy, but also we finally got a big trailer for Rebirth, Final Fantasy VII, which is the thing I think everyone is, well, I say everyone, maybe not both of you, but a lot of people are very excited about, myself included.
Is it because of the two discs? It's a big boy.
I mean, I'd love switching discs halfway through a game. That's bringing back old memories.
Nostalgia.
That is.
Old school.
Yeah.
Reminds me of Resident Evil 4 on the GameCube. That was trending last night.
What, two discs
Metal
or
Gear Solid, two discs as well.
Yeah, I mean GameCube was at a disadvantage because it had the little mini CDs.
Exactly.
Whereas this is PlayStation 5 Blu-rays, and it's still two of them.
Still two of them.
A lot of people were pointing out that Remake came on two discs, but firstly, that was PS4, and the discs were smaller, and I guess you expect the game to be smaller. Also, I'm pretty sure the second disc was just the installation, not the game. I don't know if this two-disc situation with Rebirth is also an installation disc or if the game literally spans two discs. But it's the first time I've seen that on PS5.
Mm. You mentioned that everyone's really excited for it, and sort of that begs the question, what about that other Final Fantasy game that's coming out in just a couple of weeks? Are people not excited for that, or they're not excited as much?
People are definitely excited about 16. I agree, it is strange timing. I was fully expecting sort of Rebirth marketing to start ramping up way after 16 was out, which is in a couple of weeks' time. It's surprising it's come out now. I'm also a bit surprised that it was shown at Summer Games Fest and not at the PlayStation Showcase a couple of weeks ago, considering it's a PlayStation exclusive. So maybe that is just the pull of Jeff Keighley over Sony. It is surprising that it's out now. In some ways, they were teasing this trailer for the last week. They've been having little developer comments on Twitter, including, it will have a story and characters. It will have music, which were thrilling comments. But it was day 7 was Summer Games Fest. It's Final Fantasy 7. We kind of guessed that maybe they'd show something. It does definitely seem early. We have a release window now of early 2024. It was originally winter 2023. So I guess it's probably been pushed back a little bit. But let's enjoy Clive first before we get into Cloud.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe one day I'll have
the cloud.
the Galaxy Brain marketing nuances of Square Enix, but to me it doesn't really make sense. You've got Final Fantasy 16 out in a few weeks. I read some rumors online this week that Square Enix was a little underwhelmed with the pre-orders for it, and here you are just marketing a game which has far bigger brand identity. People know Cloud, Sephiroth, and, you know, the gang. Clearly, I know them very well.
You know, that lot. That's with Cloud.
That character. Aerith? Aries?
Aerith.
Yes, sweet.
You were right the first time.
The tiger?
Red 13.
That's the guy.
The lion thing.
They know Midgard?
Is the town, the city, yeah.
All right, okay, come on, what's the other girl?
Oh, I have no idea.
Someone She's the Lockhart.
Best one. Oh, Tifa Lockhart.
Sounds like Aoife, there you go.
Yeah, I only know her name because Aoife Wilson on Eurogamer, is her Twitter handle is named Aoife Lockhart. Yeah, I mean, the fact that I, who don't play Final Fantasy, know that stuff, you know, it's... I don't understand why you're not marketing 16, unless you're really, really confident and happy that game is going to do well.
I mean, I could blab about this for forever, but I think it's interesting the sort of fan perception between the two, because a lot of people are looking at 16 as this action game and thinking, well, it's not turn-based and that's not the Final Fantasy I know and love. And I think a lot of people are wondering, well, what's happening to the series? Is this really the direction that I want Final Fantasy to go in? Personally, I love it and I'm super happy for it, but a lot of people are sort of bemoaning it and longing for the past. And so then to throw in Final Fantasy VII Remake Part 2, it's like, okay, well, this ticks that box then of you want your older games coming back as a remake. Well, here's this for you. Despite the fact that it's still kind of action-y and they are completely changing the original, so it's not going to be anything like it. So it's not really ticking that box, but the perception is that it will do.
Mm. Fan service.
Speaking of fan service, you mentioned Sonic as well, Ed. I was like, I can't remember if it was Sonic or Final Fantasy, but you were busy writing one story, and I was like, oh, shit, it's another Ed story. Another I hope Ed. He's done. Otherwise, I'm going to have to write.
You had to write like Sonic to get this one up.
Well, this is the thing. I was going through the trailers and I was like, I don't remember that one. I'm like, oh, I was writing. That's fine. Yes, yeah, Sonic Superstars, which is a return to 2D side-scrolling Sonic after last year's Sonic Frontiers. It's an interesting choice. I'm excited to play it. I think graphically it looks great. I like the idea of 2.5D, the way it sort of comes in and out of the screen. Sonic, I think, always works best as a side-scrolling platformer. This looks like it's got maybe slightly more puzzly bits in it. They've talked about emerald powers. So when you collect a Chaos Emerald, you get some sort of ability. Maybe that will come into play. So that sounds interesting. It's four-player co-op, which is also new for Sonic. So that's quite interesting. I'm just not sure how this is going to compare with the big 3D Sonic games. You know, we had Frontiers last year. They said that open zone is the future of Sonic, so why now go back to a 2D one? I don't think the Sonic Mania devs are involved, and loads of fans love Sonic Mania as a throwback to the old games. It looks like they're not in this, so people are maybe a bit worried. My main criticism is that it looks a bit slow, and Sonic games are all about going fast, and from the gameplay they showed, it just looks a bit slow.
As in Sonic was going too slowly.
Yeah, like Sonic is about running fast, and I'm down for maybe slightly more puzzy bits and some abilities, but you have to run fast. It just looked a little bit slow for my liking, but apart from that.
Okay, good feedback there if you're listening, Sega. Speed it up. Well, speeding things up, Victoria, What was it that caught your eye last night?
See, the things that caught my eye were more like, I love Ben Bro's little bit about Marvel. Like, he was just very enthusiastic.
He's so good.
Yeah. And like, so like, I know that's not a game reveal, but I really enjoyed that, like his energy. I mean, and then we got Nick Cage coming in as well in a very shiny suit. So I like those moments. But then game wise, I'm really excited about Alan Wake too. So that was nice to see. Like, I know I don't think we saw anything particularly revolutionary last night, but I thought it was pretty cool that they spoke a little bit more about Saga and how you can play as her. You know, you can sort of like flip between the two, or you can play. I think, did I read this right or understand it right? You could play pretty much the whole game as her if you want, or you can play the whole game as Alan Wake. You don't have to flip flop.
It sounded like they have their own separate bits, and Alan Wake is somewhere and she is somewhere, and you can basically progress either of those bits forward as much as you want. You can swap between them and play a bit of this and a bit of that, or you can just play all of this and basically take, is it Saga, her name? Saga's story?
Saga,
all the way to the finish, or up to the, near the finish, I think Sam Lake said.
Yeah.
Which sounds great. I think that's a really interesting way to do narrative.
Yeah, I really like that.
It sort of reminded me a bit of the Resident Evil, like, dual characters, where you can play as one and then alternate, and it reminded me of
that. This is survival horror.
It is survival horror, yeah. So maybe they
I also enjoyed how Jeff Keighley basically spoiled the story.
What did he say? I must have missed
that. So he said, he was asking Sam Lake a question and essentially said, so Saga is playing a story that Alan Wake's written, right? And Sam Lake was like, yeah.
It's an Alan Wake game.
There were kind of hints to it. Like, they spoke about, like, I mean, yeah, but that was quite funny. They're sort of like, sure, okay. Why are we so Jeff? We're on stage. So yeah, gameplay, that's one I'm quite excited about. And then, you know, we got the date for Spider-Man. We didn't see anything, Spider-Man 2, so that was pretty cool as well. And Venom is not Eddie. So it's going to be an original Venom story.
Who is it going to be then?
Well, I'm going to, if I could put money on it, if I was a betting person, I would say it's Harry Osborn. And then I would say it would lead into whenever they make Spider-Man 3, it will be Green Goblin as one of the main villains, because it'll be something happened in Spider-Man 2 with Harry, and then Norman Osborn will become Green Goblin in Spider-Man 3. These are all my little theories that are swirling around in the vortex, which is up here.
They haven't done Green Goblin yet. They've got to do it at some point.
They've got to do Green Goblin. Yeah. Ooh, and they should bring back Willem Dafoe. I mean, I know they've already got their Norman voice, but still.
Like... Yeah, I mean, Sony worked with Willem Dafoe sort of back when he was in that Beyond Two Souls, the David Cage game.
Oh, yeah.
Mm.
Whether Willem Dafoe ever wants to do a video game again after doing Beyond
minutes.
Two Souls, the David Cage game. I'm not sure.
12, was it 12 minutes? 30 minutes? 12 minutes? Some type of minutes? He was in that.
Oh, that's
anyway.
True.
Yeah.
That's true. All the big actors are doing video games these days.
Nick Cage.
Vogue. Nick Cage. Exactly.
Keanu.
That guy who was in Sabrina.
Cage.
Yep.
How many people now have we said, that's that person from Sabrina?
Well, there seems to be quite a few in the Mortal
Kombat.
Oh,
they're all in Mortal Kombat.
They're all in the film. Yeah. Yeah. So you got Tati Gabriel and.
The other weird sister.
Her name's not Alana. She's got. Oh my gosh, what's her name? But yeah, she's in Sabrina. I wrote that story as well and I can't remember.
It was a good show.
So there we go. If your Netflix series is cancelled, there's still hope for you in video games. Henry Cavill, come back. Join us.
Join us, Henry. He's got his Warhammer gig.
When Liam Hemsworth Witcher fails. Liam Hemsworth, come do video games.
What have you got, like, Liam Hemsworth? Has he been in, like, Fortnite yet?
No, he hasn't. No.
Is Chris Hemsworth as Thor?
There is a Thor character in Fortnite, but it's based on the Marvel comics, so he looks a little bit different.
So it's not Hemsworth.
They don't have, with the exception of, this is a really boring tangent and not about Summer Game Fest at all, but Fortnite doesn't have the actual MCU actors' faces in there. They use Marvel comics and sort of lookalikes, except for Tom Holland. And that's because I think the Sony Spider-Man deal they've struck is different to the Marvel one. Anyway.
Tom Holland twice because they got him as Nate Drake as well.
I did not expect to be talking about Fortnite.
Sorry.
not June. Sorry. Ignore me. Anyway, Tom, what was your favourite?
Yeah.
Well, it was Fortnite, obviously. Six-pack cat in the jungle. Fortnite Chapter 4, Season 3, Wilds. Launches today, everyone. I know you're pumped. No,
cat.
Six-pack cat. It's got six-pack cat. Interesting insight into our morning conversation today. I loved Alan Wake 2. Yeah, I've waited so long for that game. I also really, I had a really good time with Nicolas Cage. I wasn't expecting it. And when he came out, I was like, oh my goodness, you're just going to be a poor man's Keanu Reeves from a few years ago at E3. And then it turned out that he not only knew what Dead by Daylight was, he actually seemed to know a lot about video games in general.
Yeah, I thought he was quite
good. It was quite fun.
He should have just hosted the rest of it.
He should have.
From Jeff.
Yeah. I thought it was a really strong start to the show. We can rate it later, actually. But, yeah.
I thought you were, you might have said the Prince of Persia game.
Well, no, I didn't really like the look of that.
Oh. It looked like it was trying to be Fortnite. I thought it looked
a bit funny. Like... Yeah, it did. I don't know. I'm in two minds. I haven't seen enough of it, I guess. It's by Ubisoft Montpellier, which is an interesting developer. They've got quite a big development studio down in Montpellier, and then they've got kind of a little niche house that they call The Villa, which is where Michel Ancel, the creator of Rayman, used to have his little chosen artistic group. Ubisoft Montpellier made Rayman Legends, and they were great, like amazing side-scrolling platform puzzle games. Really, really great stuff. Ubisoft Montpellier is also making Beyond Good and Evil 2, and goodness knows what's going on with that. I'm happy that Ubisoft just remembered what Prince of Persia was and existed, and that it exists. And who knows when the Sands of Time remake is actually going to surface. Like reading the details of the game, though, you play as someone else, and there's Prince involved. It is quite different. They mention Metroidvania, you know, that's cool and in vogue at the moment, so I can see why they're doing that. But yeah, I'm sort of reserving judgment on it for now.
Is that because of the Sands of Time?
I wasn't sold on the art style, and that for me could be a bit of a blocker to enjoying it.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I mean, I love the art style of Prince of Persia, the PS3 game, the sort of cel-shaded one. I loved that game. It was brilliant. And I can imagine that working in this kind of setting. But yeah, I wasn't sold on the art style. I love the sort of return to 2D and the sort of Metroidvania style. It looks really quick with different abilities, which is cool. So I can see that it sort of feels like a bit of a no-brainer. But yeah, the art style wasn't great.
Yeah, I agree with both of you. Quite like the sort of concept, but maybe looking a little bit different.
Mm.
And less like one night.
It was a packed show. Jeff kept us 1 hour and 50 minutes. Which was a bit odd, because I was expecting it to last 2 hours, and Day of the Devs was lined up afterwards for 10 o'clock UK time, and then it ended up starting a little early, and I did wonder if that meant that there was going to be something in it that didn't end up getting shown.
People were really expecting
Cyberpunk.
Yeah, I was expecting something Phantom Liberty and something Kojima. And they were...
Yeah, it's... I don't know. And Kojima is over there.
Summer Games Fest without Kojima. Yeah. Like, not even a mention. Actually, no, he did get a mention at one point.
It's weird because Kojima is over in LA. We know this because he appeared publicly at the Apple VR showcase this week.
He's got his film to promote.
I was going
to
say, he's going to be doing his Connecting Worlds, which I think will...
There wasn't even a trailer for that.
Well, so there's the Tribeca Game Spotlight tonight. I wonder if it'll be part of that, because they mentioned Tribeca Film Fest. I don't know. But yeah, I could have put money on Phantom Liberty being there, and it obviously was not, which I'm very surprised of.
Yeah.
I don't know when that will show up. Did they not say that there would be some showing during this sort of showcase season?
Yeah, it's going to be there. I guess it's at Xbox then. Xbox and CD Projekt have worked closely together. They've had marketing deals in the past, so I guess Sunday. It will be there. Yeah. Xbox is Sunday, 8 o'clock UK time. And then the other big one is Ubisoft on Monday. And
Capcom.
And Capcom after that, yeah.
Yeah. Lots to keep up with.
I was surprised to see Prince of Persia. I had heard that it was in the offing, but just assumed that it was going to be at the Ubisoft showcase instead.
How long is the Ubisoft one going to show for? So what are we going to, what there'd be, what, Assassin's Creed, Skull and Bones, maybe? Maybe some time.
They've got Assassin's Creed Mirage, and the big rumor obviously is the Star Wars project, which is being made by the Division Studio. Tired, can't remember the name. That's really annoying. It's like there. Yeah, that's the report that is going to be shown too. Even though it might not quite be ready. Ubisoft has a game listed for release this financial year, which actually, thinking about it, could be Prince of Persia, because Prince of Persia is still miles away from release. It's not till January, but they put a January actual date on it.
Going back to the show last night, what did you guys think to the Twisted Metal trailer?
I mean...
I did not expect the thong song to be quoted.
It was so awkward. I remember reading one of our commenters said it felt more like a skit, and I was like, yeah, it really did. Like, that's a really good way of putting it. It didn't feel like production quality TV. It felt like a little skit on like Saturday Night Live or something.
I don't think The Last of Us is going to have any real competition at the Emmys from Twisted Metal, going by the look that we saw last night.
With the
it was sort of a bit like Anthony Mackie, Captain America, what are you doing? You're better than this.
He's singing the thong song.
I've obviously heard of Twisted Metal, but I've never played any of them, so I don't know exactly what the kind of vibe of the game is and how that's going to translate into, you know, a show. Is it a show or a film? A show.
It's a TV show.
It's a TV series on Peacock.
So I don't know how that's going to translate to a show, but judging by that, I am not sold at all.
From what I've read, the concept is, so Anthony Mackie is the John Doe, a music on John Doe, and he's tasked with delivering some cargo across, I assume, America. And then Stephanie Patrice is going to be Quiet, and she's going to help him. And then obviously there's the Will Arnett voice. It's not Will Arnett acting, though. That's like his body is some wrestler. I can't remember his name. But anyway, Will Arnett's voice.
That was the skull face person.
Yes, that Sweet Tooth is the clown, okay. Which is Will Arnett's voice. Yeah. I was hoping to see Stephanie Patrice last night because I adore her.
What did you think of Liza P, Ed? I know you're keeping an eye on that game.
Yes. The demo is out now, which you can go and play. I have played it. There'll be something on the site soon. It's intriguing because it's a Souls-like. And it looks very, very, very similar to Bloodborne. And in the absence of Bloodborne 2, maybe this fills a bit of a gap. I think the setting and the character of Pinocchio and the sort of options and abilities that might give you playing as a puppet are interesting. But I think the jury's out still as to whether it can really separate itself from the real Souls games. I'm a real Souls game.
If P doesn't say that at some point,
as I said that
during Liza P.
So yeah, I think people are interested in it because it's very Soulsy, but it's just a bit too similar.
This might be the closest people get to Bloodborne on PC.
Maybe.
Oof.
Maybe.
It's broken a load of people's hearts there saying that.
I break hearts every day, my friend.
Well, yeah, you may be right. So enjoy it while you can, guys. and enjoy it in the demo. Yeah. Anything else catch your eyes last night?
I mean, I was just scrolling through it, trying to remember, and there was a lot of stuff I've completely forgotten about. There was a big Mortal Kombat section at the start. Completely forgot that existed.
Yeah. John Carpenter showed a big new game.
Zombies. Mortal Kombat looked, I don't know, cinematics-wise, I thought it looked quite good, but then also I didn't think the actual gameplay looked, I don't know. Maybe I'm just assuming I've got high expectations, but I don't think the gameplay looked that amazing. I know they've spoken a lot about the sort of cameo, joining fighters kind of mechanic, but I like the fact that at the beginning of the show, there was a kind of like viewer discretion advised. And I was like, well, I'm quite glad that you started with Mortal Kombat pretty much.
Like, at the earliest time.
We just went right into Prince of Persia, Mortal Kombat.
Like, exciting to see, okay, how gory is it going to be? What are the fatalities going to be this year? But beyond that, it's just more Mortal Kombat. If that's your thing, then great.
Yeah. Yeah, I am quite morbidly fascinated by the fatalities, but yeah, it is still Mortal Kombat. Which is no bad thing, but
we also have a release date for Party Animals. Which Victoria and I have played. Which is very, very silly, but great fun. It's essentially a sort of arena battle game and you play as these cute characters, cuddly animals. It's very similar to Gang Beasts, if you know that. It's got sort of fairly floppy physics, and you get different weapons.
A few drinks.
You have different weapons you can use to shoot each other and throw each other out of the arenas. It's just a very silly party game, but I know a lot of people have been excited about that, and it is a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. And that is finally coming out in September.
Yeah, that was good fun. It was just good, silly fun.
You can read about it right now on eurogamer.net. Right. Well, I think it's almost time to rate the show, but it's worth mentioning, well, at the end of the show, Jeff Keighley tweeted, it's nice that no one got arrested this time around, which is good. A bit of a low bar.
I mean, did
you
get a bonus star for that? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, another big topic of conversation after the show was the fact that there were no women at all on the stage at any point.
Yeah.
I believe it was all white men.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was going to bring this up as well. It's very disappointing. I think the games themselves are becoming more diverse. But is the industry also becoming more diverse? It probably is, but you wouldn't know that by watching this showcase, which is a real shame.
Mm.
As the only female in this chat, I feel really horrified that I did not notice that. But yes, you are right.
I mean, he had a few people up on stage. Sam Lake, Nick Cage, Ben Brode. It was noticeable and it was noticed. He's hoping... Yeah, he's hoping his next show, which is only 2 months away in August at Gamescom. I expect there'll be a different...
What, at Gamescom?
Yes. Gamescom opening night live. We get 3 bites of the Jeff Apple these days.
You didn't make me really panic there because I went, Christmas isn't in 2 months. What?
No, by the time December comes around, Jeff will have been on stage twice more.
Oh, well, and he'll still be wearing a suit and some trainers.
Honestly, what was that suit?
All right, Jeff's suit or Nick Cage's suit? What are you wearing?
Nick Cage. Also, Sam Lake.
He looked quite dapper.
He is. Yeah. He's a very dapper Scandinavian man.
Yeah, he did look quite sort of Bond.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's in Alan Wake 2, isn't he?
James Bond?
Sam Lake.
I know. I knew.
Yeah, I think Remedy would... Remedy would have some issues if Alan Wake suddenly started writing and then James Bond turned up.
Can you imagine?
And then Nick Cage turned up.
Yeah.
And Optimus Prime.
Wow.
Right, let's rate the show. Ed, what would you give Summer Game Fest out of 5 stars?
I'm really torn on this because on the one hand, like, I'm super hyped for Final Fantasy and there was stuff in that that I'm excited about with Final Fantasy and Sonic, as I mentioned. But on the other hand, without that, there was very little that I was actually particularly taken by. And I wanted to deduct points for the lack of diversity in terms of the show and the way it was put on, but also Final Fantasy. So I'm sort of torn between a 3 and a 4.
Oh, and you can't go 0.5 because, as we discussed, that's a 10-point system, which is not Eurogamer.
Exactly. I think I'm going to go harsh and say a 3.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Okay. Victoria? Higher, lower, or the same?
See, I was going to say 4, and also I gave 3 to PlayStation whenever we did our PlayStation 1. And I do think it was better than the PlayStation Showcase. So I want to say higher than PlayStation, but agree with you that you have just told me, obviously, there's no diversity, which I agree should deduct some points. Also, game-wise, the game that I am excited about most I already knew about, so it wasn't any new reveals. Oh, I want to flip-flop between a 3 and a 4 as well. I'm going to say 3, but then I'm going to retract my showcase thing from last week and put it down to 2.
Wow.
Too late.
Yeah, that's too late. I'm going to go 3 as well. Yeah, I think that it was a fun show in moments, but like with a lot of Jeff shows, it would have been a much better show if it was 1 hour instead of 2.
Mm.
But there was some cool stuff.
I did appreciate, though, one of the issues that we spoke about with the PlayStation Showcase was the fact that it just felt there was no like breathing time between trailers. It was just like bang, 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 bang. As much as Jeff Keighley is Jeff Keighley, at least we did get like a little point to kind of catch our breath between each thing. So I will say that in his favour.
When there was some Korean smartphone MMO, so you could go get a coffee. Yeah.
And, top up.
And that Samsung OLED screen that I now really want because I've seen so many adverts for it.
Oh, I must have been doing something else at that point. I don't remember that.
It kept repeating the same ad for this OLED monitor thing.
Well, it works. I think you want it.
What, in Jeff's favour, what I will say is I think those interviews, having that personality there, that really showed the benefits of a live show, which we've missed out on just watching stuff that's been pre-recorded, canned and uploaded to YouTube or waiting someone to just push a button. I like hearing from people like Sam Lake and Ben Brode, whose enthusiasm is infectious. I was very pleasantly surprised by Nick Cage and his appearance in terms of how eloquent and switched on that he was. I think those were nice off-the-cuff bits, and it added flavour and context, and
it was a bit different. That we had, was it Al Pacino at the Game Awards? Was it Al Pacino?
I know, yeah, goodness. Oh,
someone popped up, yeah. Nick Cage did a better job last night.
Yeah.
Yes, I did fear that he was almost going to do a Christopher Judge and just carry on speaking. He was really excited about being in Dead by Daylight. I think Dead by Daylight really got their money's worth there, and they'll be very happy today. It's the most exposure that game has ever had.
Yeah, I totally agree with you in terms of having those personalities on stage, it being a stage show, not just a series of YouTube videos. It makes it more human and makes it more relatable, which is nice. It's just a shame that the only personalities are men, because women have personality too.
Thanks.
Well, on that bombshell, we'll be back next week.
Yeah, you know I have a personality.
Yeah, I was
absolutely
on that bombshell for Jeff Keighley. We'll be back next week, and there'll be lots more to talk about then. As we said, Xbox is on Sunday, and then Ubisoft, Capcom are coming along as well. Thanks for watching, listening. If you've made it this far, Ed, where can people find you on Twitter?
You can find me at @Ed_Knights.
And Victoria?
I remembered this week I am Little Chop Shop Gal.
And I'm @TomPhillipsCG. Thanks for watching, everyone. We'll see you next time. Bye for now.
Bye. See you then.